David asked me to read John chapter 2. David was just showing me his Bible's in Korean, of course. Has the two side by side, and isn't it just wonderful? I didn't understand a word of it. It's all just strange symbols to me, but it's wonderful, isn't it, that God's word is living and powerful, and should be and is being translated into every language.
That's great to see. Wow.
So let's hear together from John chapter 2, starting at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days.
Thank you again, Pastor Nathan, to welcome me. It's such a great, wonderful privilege for me to share today's passage with you. Even though I speak broken English, in Korea, we call it Konglish, you know. Koreans and Japanese, I think these two countries, you know, worst countries for us to learn English. Everything is opposite, grammar is opposite. We don't have alphabet, we don't have R sound, V sound, many, many sounds. And if I learn Japanese, within 6 months, I could be at least 1 year, I could be very fluent Japanese speaker. So, yeah, please, thank you so much for bearing with me and with my accent. So I will speak slowly, and also I will try to stick to the script. The script is, I made it grammatically correct so you could understand better. In London, it's okay without script. It's a cosmopolitan city, so many could understand me easier because they are quite accustomed to many international speakers. Sometimes churches, the topic is our deepest despair has everything to do with Jesus. I normally preach with regards to evangelism, but today I don't know. For this tour, I changed the subject, so I'm not quite familiar with this, script, but, you know, Pete and Jean, we shared and prayed, you know, and they gave me some insights about this passage, so I chose this passage and for this church and for this tour. This is the first sign of Jesus Christ, for the first miracle. Sometimes churches in rural places, like here, can feel, I prefer to live here, so maybe, you know, sooner or later, I really wish, you know, living in this kind of rural area, maybe in Korea or maybe here, or I don't know, Africa, I don't know. So sometimes churches in these quiet rural places can feel forgotten by the world. Sometimes believers may wonder whether their prayers, faithfulness, or years of service still matter. Because I've shown you, many churches in Korea is massive. So many people are worshiping. And so that's why, isn't that recording? No?
It can be, yeah. No,
I mean, off record. In Korea, I think we have numbers. In UK, you have quality, so I prefer quality. I mean, both is perfect, so, you know. But if I have to choose, I'd rather choose British quality. So today's passage reminds us of something deeply encouraging. Jesus delights to come into ordinary places, ordinary homes, and ordinary lives. The very first public sign of Jesus' ministry did not happen in Jerusalem's big temple or in Korea's super mega church or a famous city. It happened at a small village wedding in Cana, just like here. And that gives us great hope and encouragement today. So let us reflect for a moment on Horatio It's powerful. I don't know in English, but in Korea, we call him Horatio Spafford. The writer of the well-known hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." After, you know, he used to be a lawyer and an elder in Chicago, but, you know, he lost everything due to the great Chicago fire. So nothing was left. So his wife and four daughters, I'm a bit confused now whether three daughters or four daughters, maybe four daughters. Yeah, they tried to come to settle in Europe. So, but in the Atlantic Ocean, due to the shipwreck, you know, four daughters died. Their mother could survive and arrived in Europe. She wrote, you know, like a telegraph to Horatio. Not a long letter. One word. Just one word. It's all died. All died. And Horatio, of course, he wanted to trace, you know, what happened in the Atlantic Ocean. So he traveled across the waters where his daughters had died. And in the Atlantic Ocean, he wrote, you know, in the middle of the ocean, he wrote this famous song. "When peace like a river attends my way, it is well with my soul." How could a man sing such words after such tragedy, suffering? It was not because his pain disappeared. The pain was still there. It was because Christ remained with him in the middle of his sorrow. Our Lada City Mission CEO Graham Miller, his first son, died at the age of 14. But he could still sing. The pain is still there, still today. Every day, every moment. But he could sing, not because his pain disappeared, but because Christ remains with him. And Horatio, he could praise God, his peace. He could get perfect peace, not because of his feeling, but because of Christ's presence. Jesus didn't forget Horatio and his family. Jesus has not forgotten you. Jesus has not forgotten this lovely and wonderful church. So I've divided it into three sections, three parts. The first part, verses 1 to 4. When life seems unrelated to Jesus, as empty and difficult, facing the impossible, Mary brings the problems to Jesus. We all have problems other than Jesus. Doesn't matter whether it's present or any. We all have tragedies and problems and sufferings. But Mary brings that problem to Jesus. Many Christians in small churches understand suffering severely. Even big churches in Korea, you know, it's like chaotic. So whether small or big, whether churches or family, we all face big sufferings or small sufferings. Some carry loneliness. Some have buried husbands, wives, and dear friends. Some feel discouraged as, you know, some churches I mean, this church is quite, in London, where I serve small church, less or around 20 people. So you are bigger than my church now. So some churches become smaller, feel discouraged because, you know, they feel like, oh, we are small and we are nothing. But Mary came to Jesus with a painful problem, saying, Jesus, they have no wives. In Jewish culture, at the time, the marriage, wedding, was not happened just for a day, but for a week. And like many places these days, alcohol is, most important thing. If it's wine is lacking, it means it's more than shameful. They might have been isolated from the society. So, yeah, it's a big problem, big, big problem. In Korea, the story of Pastor Son Yang-mun in 1948, during a period of rebellion, his two sons were executed by a communist youth, young people. Christians, friends around him cried out, Pastor Son, this is not a matter of faith. This is politics, violence, and cold reality. You know, don't relate this tragedy to faith. It's nothing, Jesus has nothing to do with this. It's just happened. So, don't think, overthink, the relationship between your two sons died and the gospel and faith and Jesus. And Pastor Son replied back, even Jesus, according to the Psalm, God counts our hairs and everything. He knows whether we stand or sit down. He must know. He must be involved. My biggest happening, tragedy, two sons died. Of course, it must be related to Jesus. And on the day of funeral, he announced, I adopt the young guy, communist rebellion, young guy, youth, who killed my two sons, as my son. And all of church members and people around him, they thought that he was insane, just like me. He famously said, this is not a matter of my personal feelings, personal emotions. It is a question of what Jesus has to do with my life. So he laid the impossible grief at the foot of the cross, recognizing the sovereignty of God even in the midst of a murder. He wanted to follow Jesus. Even though people, us, we kill, we mock Jesus Christ, but he died for us. Of course, Jesus has to do something with this tragedy. And through this tragedy, I really want to follow Jesus. I really want to preach the gospel. I really want to honor, exalt Jesus Christ. I want to express Christ's sacrificial love even for my enemy. We often ask, what does my struggle have to do with Jesus? Reformed theology and many churches, they teach us to look at God's sovereign providence rather than our emotions and feelings. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is not absent from your problems and weaknesses. He meets you there. The second part, merit absolute obedience as the blessing of simple obedience. Verses 5 to 8. Meditate the servants. Do whatever he tells you. In Greek, original passage, this is not a suggestion. It is an instruction for unconditional, absolute obedience regardless of the environment. I don't know whether you have heard about Corrie ten Boom. During the Nazi occupation, her family hid Jews and was eventually arrested, not only her, but whole family. So his mother died, his father died, and even his sister died at the prison. But he determined to follow and maintain the attitude, I will do exactly as the Lord speaks. So whenever she reads the Bible, God speaks to her about preach the gospel and love your neighbors. So after her miraculous release, she has established healing centers and preached forgiveness and the gospel and love. Even to those who had been her captors, she chose Jesus' way as take absolute obedience. The passage, the servant did not fully understand what Jesus was doing, yet they obeyed him. Absolute obedience. Jesus commands the servants to fill 6 stone jars with water. Jars used for ceremonial cleansing. Water symbolizes purification by the law. But he, the first miracle through this jar and water purification, he wanted to indicate the perfect purification, which is about about Jesus Christ's blood on the cross. When they obeyed, the water became wine. Water and wine, represent Jesus Christ's blood on the cross. So he really wanted to emphasize through this occasion, he wanted to preach about the gospel, about the cross, about his sacrificial love. Many believers in churches across Derbyshire quietly live this kind of obedience. You seek after week, you pray, you serve, you welcome visitors, you continue faithfully even when numbers are small. Please never think that your quiet faithfulness is unnoticed by God. Sometimes we ask and question, what does my struggle have to do with Jesus? What does Jesus have to do with my struggle? The answer, of course, everything. John Piper says, any milliseconds, it matters. So any sufferings, whether it's small, whether it's big, whether it's 1 second, or whether it's 1 millisecond, it matters. Jesus, through that suffering, Jesus wants to be with you. And he wanted to be exalted through that suffering. And he wanted to show his love. And he wanted to save you. And he wanted to save others through their suffering. Nothing in our lives is meaningless. Even painful seasons are under the loving hand of our Heavenly Father. Christ is Lord over every sorrow, every disappointment, every hidden tear, and every difficult season. Brothers and sisters, Christ is still building His church. Whether this church, whether in your family, often in small and quiet places. Finally, the last part, verses 9 to 12, Jesus revealed His glory, the purpose of the first sign. In Korea, the late Professor Chang Young-hee suffered from polio at the age of 2 and was paralyzed for life. Even family, they thought that she's finished. She did not beg for the removal of her pain. Instead, she recorded the grace she found within her weakness. She's not healed. The condition is the same. She's not begging for recovery. Instead, she recorded how much grace she's given and praise our Lord Jesus Christ. Her situation did not return to normal physically, but her pain was transformed into a calling. So she was encouraged to do her ministry, so she became professor, and she wrote a book about grace, Christ's grace. So many lives, transformed. The master of the banquet declared, "You have kept the best wine until now." Of course, it is the best, because it represented Jesus Christ's blood. That is why John writes, "He revealed His glory, and His disciples believed in Him." The focus was not simply the happiness of the guests, the end, the Cana wedding situation. John, the writer, focused not on people, not on servants, not on Mary, not on himself, but on Jesus Christ and His glory. He revealed His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. He even didn't focus on the solving of a problem, or alcohol, or blessings, other blessings, but merely on Jesus Christ. We do not grieve in any sufferings, because the suffering of Jesus, the reason Christ is still alive and faithfully sustaining us and sustaining this church. Jesus swapped His miserable place with the heavenly place. He took our shame so that we might receive His joy. We call it swapping place. He drank the cup of suffering so that we might drink the cup of salvation. So let me finish. Let's continually depend on His blood and obey for His great salvation for many. As every pain, every prayer, and every service matter to Jesus and His salvation and glory. So let us praise the Lord who knows our empty jars and fills them with the blood of the cross Himself.